chapter 17 of 2 Samuel. After we finish 2 Samuel, we are going to go into the 2 Corinthians. So please read ahead. Read ahead the 2 Corinthians. It is a great book. In my opinion, 2 Corinthians and 2 Timothy are the most earnest book that are written by the Apostle Paul. All right, let's start. The most well-known traitor of the human history would be who? Judas Iscariot. Correct. He's not only betrayed a friend and a teacher, but he also betrayed God of the universe. The mind-boggling thing about this is that God fully knew about what's going to happen, yet he allowed Judas to be born. Keep your finger there in chapter 17 of 2 Samuel. Let's go to Matthew 26, please. Matthew 26. Verse 24. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to the man, that man by whom Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for man if he had not been born. This guy is doomed from the day one. The end of the ultimate traitor, Judas, was hanging himself on the tree. We find an extreme similarity with the account of Ahithophel situation. Both betrayed their friends. Both hung themselves. Ahithophel betrayed the King David. Judas betrayed the Son of David and the King of Kings. Unfortunately, that I find there that many traitors in the midst of us, even here. You're wondering, which one? Yourself, myself. We have the traitor, potential traitor within ourselves, who might be able to face the same ugly ending as the Judas or Ahithophel if we don't take care of ourselves carefully. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to finish well. Especially myself, after I preached, I may not disqualify myself like Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We want to finish well so that we may be able to hear that precious word from your lips, well done, good and faithful servant. Heavenly Father, it is our ultimate desire to do well, finish the course, and then you will give us the crown of righteousness, not only to Apostle Paul, but to all who long for your return. Let us learn from the other people's mistake. Let us learn from other people's sin, that we may not repeat the same thing. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight's sermon title is The End of the Traitor. We started at verse 1 of chapter 17, 2 Samuel. Moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, "Now let me choose 12,000 who I will arise and pursue David tonight. I will come upon him while he is weary and weak and make him afraid. And all the people who are with him will flee. I will strike." Underline next three words, please. Only the king. "Then I will bring back all the people to you. And when all return except the man whom you seek, all the people will be at peace." And the saying that pleased Absalom, all the elders of Israel. Ahithophel realized the fleeing king was in a vulnerable situation. David is tired, and he's weary. Tiry is means we're tired and we're all together in one. And so, besides, he did not have a good army to start with. He had a few hundred soldiers. That's about it. So he counseled Absalom that it's time to pursue and kill David once and for all before he gained the strength. As time go by, there will be more chance for the King David to regain his strength. 12,000 would be a sufficient amount of soldiers to overtake this fleeing king. Despite of his well-known wise counsel, Ahithophel underestimated one thing. David had crack troops under his command, personal bodyguard who would die for him at no time. Literally, they would throw their lives in front of David to save the king. While his own son Absalom, while the people around Jerusalem, around Israel, would betray the king, these people, even though they are foreigners, they stay with the King David. I should underline the three words. This slip of tongue, even Ahithophel acknowledged David is still king. He's the true king. Verse 5. Then Absalom said, "Now call Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear what he say too." And when Hushai came to Absalom, Absalom spoke to him, saying, "Ahithophel has spoken in this manner. Shall we do as he said? If not, speak up." So the Hushai said to Absalom, "The advice that Ahithophel has given is not good at this time. For, he said to Hushai, "You know, your father and his men, that they are mighty men, and they are enraged in their mind, like a bear robbed her cubs in the field. Your father is a man of war and will not camp with the people. Surely by now he is hidden in some pit or some other place, and it will be when some of them are overthrown at the first, and that whoever hears will say, 'There is a slaughter among the people who follow Absalom.' Even he who is a valiant, whose heart is like a heart of a lion, will melt completely, for all Israel know that your father is a mighty man, and those who are with him are valiant men." This is, in my opinion, is a remarkable evidence that God's intervention for King David. Ahithophel is known for wise counsel. Everybody admit that, even the Absalom. That's why he liked to have Ahithophel on his side. However, God granted David's prayer from the previous chapter, let Ahithophel's prayer to be counsel to be confused to the Absalom, and Absalom was asking second opinion to Hushai. You can imagine Hushai had just about to have a heart attack when he heard the wise counsel from the Ahithophel. That's not what he liked to have. As I said before, the longer David stay in the wilderness, he will have more time to regroup himself and bring more troops toward himself. So he had to come up with a counter plan quickly. And this is the reason why King David sent him into the presence of Absalom in chapter 15. Hushai referred to David. He tried to portray the David as the mighty man, a mighty man of valor, and his men, the troop around him is a crack troop. So you don't want to go after him right now because he is enraged. They will fight to death. You're going to lose your butt. So why don't you round up all the people from the Israel, then go after him yourself? Probably while he's saying this and he's praying a minute to God. Let's find what's happening and what kinds of counter advice Hushai is giving to Absalom. Verse 11. "Therefore, I advise you, or advise that all Israel be fully gathered to you from Dan to Beersheba, like sand that is by the sea for the multitude, and that you go to the battle in person. So we will come upon him in some place where he may be found, and we will fall on him as the dew fall on the ground, and of him and all the men who are with him. And there shall not be a left so much as one. Verse 13. Moreover, if he has withdrawn into the city, then all Israel shall bring the rope to that city, and we will pull it into the river until there is not one small stone found there. So Absalom and all men of Israel said that the advice of Hushai the Archite is better than the advice of Ahithophel. Underline next phrase, please. For the Lord has proposed the defeat of the good advice of Ahithophel to the intent of the Lord might bring disaster upon Absalom. Dan to Beersheba. Dan is located way on the top of the Israel territory. Beersheba is way on the bottom of the territory. Between them, there is about 150 miles distance, which is about from here to Phoenix, outskirts of Phoenix. So it's not that big town, big country. Hushai's advice sounds good. However, it's not good for the Absalom, but it's good for David. He's buying time for David. God is at work on behalf of David. Let me put it this way. Hushai said, you should go into battle in person. Remember, Absalom started with the vanity. He started with the ego. He makes himself look good. Remember, he is a good looking, he's a hunk and a half. He's probably well built, and he has that, you know, washboard ab, you know, flexible muscle, all of that. However, yeah, like Jack. So if you want to look what Absalom looked like, just look at Jack. Oh, it's getting deep. Okay, let's stop right now here. So this guy, he's a probably cover model for the Israel GQ. And he want to be known that way. What would be better than him leading the troop, entire troop, against his enemy? That fits to his ego, to his vanity. Hushai is using that to bring him a disaster. God is in control, and the throne of God, throne of grace, and I'm not, let me try again. The throne of Israel belongs to him, and he will put whomever he put. The word of God said that he will promote whomever he desire. Men plan ahead, but God is the one who directs the steps. Man cannot escape God. They go their own ways. Their way never set them free from the authority and invincible power of God. Let's never forget that. Always God is in control. Verse 15. The Hushai said to Zadok and Abiathar, the priest, thus and so the Ahithophel advised Absalom and the elders of Israel, thus so I have advised. Now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, do not spend the night, this night in the plain of the wilderness, but speedily cross over, lest the king and all the people who are with him will be swallowed up. Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz, they are the sons of these two priests, stayed in En-Rogel, for they dare not to be seen coming into the city. The female servant would come and tell them, and they would go and tell the king David. Nevertheless, Lad saw them and told Absalom. But both of them went away quickly and came to a man's house in the barium who had a well in his court. They went down into it, and the woman took the spread covering over the well's mouth and spread the ground grain on it. And the things was not known. And when the Absalom servant came to the woman's woman at the house, they said where the Ahimaaz and Jonathan. So the woman said to them, they have gone over the water brook. So they had searched and could not find them, and they returned to Jerusalem. Verse 21. Now it came to pass that after they had departed, and they came up out of the well and went to the told King David and said to David, arise, cross over the water quickly, for thus has Ahithophel advised against you. So the David and all the people who were with him arose, crossed over the Jordan by morning light. Not one of them was left and who had not gone over the Jordan. And Rogel is about the south of Jerusalem, junction of the Hinnom and Kidron Valley. So they are quite south, however, they are not out of the harm's way. This is exactly what David was looking for. He wanted to have intel, information coming from the Absalom's side, so he know what to do, calculating the next move. Obviously, not the entire nation is gone to the Absalom's side. How do I know? Because look at the man and his wife helped them. Don't think that people don't realize what Absalom did. He thought he's going to win the heart of people with his good look and what he can show off to them. But they saw through his vanity. Especially, it turned them off when what he did to the concubine, 10 concubines on the rooftop. Remember what happened? He took his father's concubine. Verse 23. Now here comes the end of the traitor's situation. Now when the Ahithophel saw that his advice was not followed, and he saddled a donkey and arose, went home to his house, to his city. Then underline next phrase, please. He put his household in order. And underline continuously. And he hanged himself and died. Stop there. And he was buried and in his father's tomb. Ahithophel did not kill himself because his wise counsel was rejected. He's not that low. However, he was smart enough to realize if Absalom go after David later, when David is more strengthened, and he realized that Absalom will lose the battle. That means David is coming back into the throne. That means Ahithophel has to face the treason charge, and he will go through the execution. He didn't want to face that. Ahithophel commits suicide. We know that suicide is a sin, and self-murder. Yes, suicide is not forgivable sin, unpardonable sin. A lot of people believe that because some of the denomination declared that if you suicide, you will go to hell. Find me one verse in the Bible that it declares it. It does not. And they said, well, you cannot really ask for forgiveness. If that's the case, do you remember all the sin you commit? I don't. With my bird brain, I don't remember half of them. So I just ask God, the sins, all the sins, whether I remember or not, please forgive me. It's done. By His cleansing power, by His blood, we are forgiven. It's not because let me put it this way. Let's go back. If I continuously commit sin against God, knowingly, willingly, and saying no to God, no to the Holy Spirit's conviction, if I'm continuously going against Him, and someday it will to the point I no longer hear from God. Because I have this big, gigantic spiritual banana in my ears, I will not hear Him. Because my heart will be too calloused. However, when He tells me I'm sinning against God, and if I'm sensitive enough and I listen to Him, I will ask forgiveness. He does it. He forgives us. It is self-murder. There's no doubt about it. And when a person commits suicide, it seems like that person is saying that I cannot go on anymore. I had it. When that person does it, he or she is listening to the lie and the deception of Satan. John 10:10 says that he, Satan, come to this world to kill, to destroy, to steal. So the person who commits suicide is just bought the story of Satan. Suicide is always coward, ultimate coward action. And it's the last resort for man who dare not to stand up to the life. Yes, he or she might go through tremendous difficult time. Karen and I have had a friend who has a terminal disease. And they didn't have health care. And they didn't have money. She prayed for a long time. It didn't help. She took her life. Is it wrong? Yes, it is wrong. Am I going to condemn her? Absolutely not. Is she in heaven? By grace of God, yes. God forgive her? Yes. Don't you ever, ever condemn the person who commits suicide. Well, it's not going to help you any because you cannot talk to that person anyway. And don't look down on that person because to that person, he or she couldn't handle it. However, if you're playing game with that concept of suicide, stop. God is bigger than that. God can help you. Please pay attention to the very remarkable character about this Ahithophel. I should underline, he put his household in order and he hanged himself and died. To put his house in order, it requires a prudent man. However, he was dumb and stupid enough to hang himself. He didn't want to face the ultimate ending. This guy had a mixture of discretion and desperation. And he had a sound mind and a madness. Here is a man who have enough wisdom to arrange his worldly affair with a care, but he was dumb enough to take his own life afterward. Somehow the Satan lied to our young people. Take your life. Take your life. And our young people buy this story. A lot of times if you get to read the actual lyrics of the Megadeth or hard metal music, parents, read that lyrics. It will make you the flabbergast. It's a literally the chanting of the death. Million people set their lifestyle in order, but yet they destroy their souls. They look well, they work hard, and they have an impressive financial portfolio. However, where they are most required, they are completely clueless. They save their money that perish, but they squandered their eternal soul. And they are guardian of their estate, but the traitor of their own soul. Many people go down to the graves like a traitor of Ahithophel, taking care of everything except their own soul. That's the end of a traitor against their own lives, sealing their own fate. Let me make another example. We think that we can handle the situation. So instead of asking God, we come up with our own resource. whether it's a financial resource or whatever that is. Instead of depending on God, we look for some other way. Let's make my example. About 15 years ago, I was a really new Christian. I think I was 2 years old. Instead of depending on God, when I owe money to IRS to pay the tax, quarterly tax, guess what I did? I borrowed the money. Used the cash or advance from the credit card. Stupid thing to do. If you have that idea, erase that idea. Credit card will kill you. Some of you guys know this because you are going through that. Credit card interest will compound faster than you can pay the principal. I'm not saying that using credit card is wrong. I didn't depend on God. Instead of depending on God, I tried to come up with my own resource. A lot of times people do that kind of thing and end up, they cannot face the situation, they cannot face the reality, and they commit suicide. Do you know how many people commit suicide on a Black Monday when the stock market went down so hard? Remember that time, many years ago? Many people commit suicide because they realized their financial portfolio just went down the drain. Life is more than financial portfolio. God can provide. God, if you depend on God, it's not about finance. It's about depending on God, dependency on God. There's no other way around. Did God say, I will provide all your need according to His riches and glory? Yes, He did. Is God going to lie to us because He cannot provide my needs while He's providing everybody else's needs? Come on, this is about the name of God. He's going to keep His promise no matter what. If we depend on the big God, He will make it big to us. If we don't depend on God, He will be small God to you. I'd rather be a big Godder. You heard this word, I've come up with this word, Godder, G-O-D-D-E-R. The one who believes big God. The one who believes God is true, God will keep His promise. Instead of not trusting God and coming up with my own resource. Verse 24. Then David went to the Mahanaim, and Absalom crossed over the Jordan, and he and all the men of Israel with him. And Absalom made Amasa captain of the army instead of Joab, and Amasa was the son of a man whose name was Jithra, an Israelite, and who had gone in the Abigail, and the daughter of the Nahash, sister of Jeriah, and Joab's mother. Did you get all their relationship? I have no idea what that means. I think I have to make a chart. So the Israel and the Absalom encamped in the land of Gilead. Absalom was the head of this battle. Now, remember, when Ahithophel said, I will take the 12,000 people and go after King David, who is in charge of that battle? Ahithophel. But Hushai said, go into battle in person. Who is in charge? Absalom. That really fanned his ego. So he's biting this bait, hook, line, and sinker. So he went into the battle, and his ego will be the assured, is going to ensure his ruin. Let me say another thing. Absalom never been a fighter nor the warrior. If you remember when he killed his half-brother Amnon, did he do it by himself? No. He said to his servant, kill him. He didn't even want to do his dirty work. He made other people do his dirty work. He's nothing more than a spoiled, rotten prince who could care less about other people's thing. Verse 27. Now it happened when David had come to the Mahanaim, and then all these people, I'll just skip that. And they came up with verse 28, brought the bed and basins and earthen vessels and wheat, barley and flour, parched grain and beans and lentil and parched seed, honey and curd and sheep and the cheese for the herd, for the David and the people who were with him to eat. Is that a cheese for the what? Animals? I didn't know the animal eat cheese. For they said, the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. These obscure people not known, their name has never been mentioned again. They came to along the side of David. Listen to me, please. Friends in need are friends indeed. I'll repeat it one more time. Friends in need are friends indeed. You get to know who are the true friends when you are down and out. These helpers are not dramatic, powerful warriors. They don't have a blend. They don't blandish their fancy sword or the spears. They came with the food. To David, they are the great helper as much as the soldiers. Let's make three applications. Number one, I forgot to make a slide. Sorry. So write it down, please. Number one, we need to remember to keep our relationship with Christ. We need to remember to keep our relationship with Christ in the foremost priority, because we can betray Christ ourselves. Don't think that you will never betray Jesus. If you have the same blood like I do, if you have the same flesh like I do, you have a potential as much as I do to betray God. Because we are born with a sinful nature. Many people are concerned about what they have, what can they do to show off to others, but completely forgetting the most important thing, the relationship with the Savior. Second application, let's remember man cannot escape God. People go their own way, do their own things, but they are not out of God's authority. Third application, I said before, friends in need are friends indeed. Friends in need are friends indeed. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 10, please. Ecclesiastes is right after Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10. If you continue to flip Bible like we've been doing it, pretty soon you get to open that thing on the right spot. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 10. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. Woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Friends in need are the friends indeed. We get to know who are the real true friend when we are down and out. Find a friend to walk with you, to strengthen you, and you be his strength, her strength. Let's stand up and pray.